The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
It's good to have you guys with us today. I know you've had a busy summer. You've been all over the state. You came from a meet, I believe, to get here. Is that right? You were at a meet, Baptist Church, maybe? Sweetwater and meet. So you've been all over. They travel a lot working with churches across the state, and there are other teams that go out as well. We have a team in Wyoming that has three more weeks, and then they'll be flying home the end of July. And then we have a team that's going to work down in the bayou from UL Lafayette. They're going to be down south of Houma doing the same sort of thing that y'all are doing. You probably haven't met them. But I'm glad you're going. I'm glad you're doing all you're doing. I really appreciate Mary taking them on for 2 weeks. That's a bigger deal than you might know. It's a lot of food. That's a lot of travel. That's a lot of logistics of taking care of everything that needs to be done. And I wonder, have you been given an itinerary in writing, by the way? Mary, you gave them an itinerary. I know you probably did, because Mary's like me. We've been around a while. We have to have things down in writing so we remember, and so other people remember, and so you don't have to tell everybody all the time. There's something that I want to give you a tip in life that's going to help you later on. Not today, maybe not 10 years from now, but sometime around 45 years old. It's about when it starts happening to people. And then it gets, as time progresses, it happens a little bit more. There comes a day when you can't read anything without these. That happens. Now, are there any of you over here not wear glasses at all? Okay, y'all don't wear glasses at all. All right, so Chloe, I want to get you to do me a favor here. You don't mind wearing my glasses, do you? All right, can you read this? Can you read these prayer concerns? Read the first line of prayer concerns. Y'all can pray for them too, by the way.
With your glasses?
No, without the glasses.
Okay. Dorothy Alford, Marilyn Brooker, Sandra Brandon, Merrill Cummings, Lucille DeWitt, Doug and Catherine Gentry, Becky Horner, Terry Kelly, Senior.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Christy, I don't have my glasses
Leach,
on.
Margaret Leach, Eddie Moore, Jeff Morrow, Beth Gase, Reverend Claude Weatherford, Pat Wiggins, Suzanne Worsham, Mary Jo Wright, the Ginger Jordan family.
All right, thank you for doing that. Now, she read that without glasses. She didn't have to have any glasses. Now, I want you to put these on and see if this helps you any.
Oh, absolutely.
What does that do for you?
I can't see any of that.
Does it help you any?
No.
Is it okay? Okay, let me show you another little trick. I learned this trick at a restaurant, by the way. When your eyesight starts going away and you can't see things as clear, if you're in a restaurant, and it's almost every restaurant. By the way, after traveling at Pensacola this week and speaking at a conference there, I went to a restaurant and I showed up at 4:30 for dinner. So if you show up at 4:30 for dinner, who's in there? Old folks. It's the early bird special, and by the way, 4:30 is pushing it for me nowadays. If it gets to 5:30, I start to get a little hangry, so I got to be sure to get some kind of snack or something. Here's the secret. So when you get to that day, and you got your menu out, and you don't know that menu by heart, which, by the way, for a lot of us in here, we order the same thing all the time, so that we don't have to worry about looking at a menu. You turn that little light on, and you hold that thing up, like this, still can't read it. So you put your glasses on, and you get your glasses on, you look at it, oh, now I can see the prayer list. So I've got the light out, I've got the glasses on, I can focus in, and I can know who all's on here that I need to be praying for if I don't have it memorized. Now, do I have an amen from anybody else that lives that life? All right, this is a church full of us. Oh, technology. She said I can zoom in with my camera and blow it up even better. I actually do that. I do that from time to time. When I'm having to read serial numbers off of things, I do that. Or VIN numbers off of a car, I'll blow it up. This helps me see better. Now, it's so important to me when I preach on Sunday mornings that I have these glasses. I wipe them off while I'm sitting up there. This is my ritual, by the way. I wipe them off in the car with some alcohol. Then I wipe them off sitting right over here with the cuff of my jacket here, the bottom of my jacket. And I get them ready. And then I reach into my other pocket and I have my backup pair. So I wipe them off. I get them ready too. And I've got them ready to focus. And so when it comes time to read, I'm able to see what I need to see, to focus on what I need to focus on. And while I'm doing that, clarity happens and it comes to life. And I understand what is on the paper. That's important for believers to understand. So it's on Sunday morning when we're looking at a passage of Scripture, it's important for us to look at this from one direction, look at it clearly, explain all the surroundings of all the context of what's going on in that passage. And I like to take the glasses and the lens of another passage of Scripture that says the very same thing, from a different perspective, from a different writer, in a different century, and helps you see the continuity of the Bible from the beginning to the end. You'll see that God has been speaking this message from the beginning of time till today, because there's some conditions that are common to man. Not just this century, not just way back in the 7th, 8th century B.C., but today, these things we are dealing with, that we think about, that we do every day, are common to us. And the Lord speaks to us in ways that helps us understand His Word, His ways, His intentions, and the purposes He has for our life and who He is. So what we're going to do today, by the way, I spoke to a group of 70 junior high and high school youth, Sunday school teachers, camp leaders, and youth directors Friday night. You think they need to focus? They need some help focusing. I even did some exercises with them to get them pumped up, get them ready. So they needed to focus. And I brought them to this first passage of this sermon because it helps them understand the importance of what they do. And I want to say, if you're a VBS worker of any kind, this passage is for you, because you're going to be doing what is taught in this Scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you know the Bible very well, if you know theology very well, you've heard a lot of sermons, you know that this passage is called the, anybody? The Shema passage. The Shema passage. It is a Scripture being taught to the people of Israel as they're crossing over into the promised land, into Canaan, because some things are going to happen as soon as they cross that river, as soon as they get in there and they start taking those farms and those ranches and drinking out of those wells and living in those houses that's been given over to them by God. As soon as they get there, they're going to be confronted with some things that are going to distract them. They're going to distract them and pull them away so they don't see the Lord. They don't see the Lord's purpose. They see other stuff all around them. So the writer is saying to them, you got to focus. I need you to focus. I need you to bring it in and think about these things. And while you're thinking about these things, I want you to see how these things apply to your life. Deuteronomy 6, starting with verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that you, now here's the reason, he gives them why he's doing it, and then he says, here's the reason, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, live by keeping all his decrees and his commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. He's saying, this is how you get blessed. This is how you get blessed in life. This is how you succeed in life. This is how you honor God with your life. This is how you live out your purpose in life. You live by the law and the teachings the Lord has given you. Observe that. And not only observe it, but tell your kids about it. We moved to West Monroe from Tallahassee, and we bought I thought I wanted to have a farm, moved from the city into a little subdivision, into a farm. And the reason I did that was because we had a restricted subdivision with codes, and I was the president of the homeowners association. It was misery. It was misery. I had to help people understand that the color they painted their houses had to be changed. They couldn't paint them. It was terrible. It was terrible. So I wanted to live on a farm and get away from all that. So we bought a farm. We bought it had a log cabin on it, four-bedroom log cabin, and it was nice. Had a pond in the back. It was idyllic to live there. And on the back, all the doors had old-timey screen doors with little springs on them that when you open the screen door, every single time it went slap shut. Keep the doors closed to keep things out. And on the top of that screen door on that house, I burned these words with a wood-burning kit because I wanted to pass this on to the kids, to the next generation, and to that beyond. These are the words. Hear Israel and be careful to obey so that may go well with you and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. I didn't burn that in because I'm too lazy to put that much in. But I did put this, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. On your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up, and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Now, he is preparing them by a daily ritual, a preparation for what they're going to face today. Now, I may have shared this with you before. I've had some times when I was speaking in large groups, and maybe I had some anxiety about that, some worry about that, because I wanted to make sure I communicated well and I remembered everything and I didn't blank out. So I would get back in the back of the stage or wherever I was going, and I would just do the whole power pose thing. Have I talked to you about the power pose yet? Okay, the power pose is when you stand with your feet the width of your shoulder, you put your hands on your hips, and you take a deep breath. Kind of gives it's a physical it's a physical signal to your body that you're in control. Okay, I do that. I learned a new one this week. I learned that you drop your shoulders down when you're standing like this. So I did this with those youth ministers, by the way, because they were about to take on camp. I said, stand with your shoulders relaxed and drop, because that changes your posture and your confidence. And then I asked them to close their eyes. I would do that with you guys, but it's a lot of trouble for some of us getting up and down. So we're going to pretend that we're doing this where you are. We stand in the posture like this, I'll close my eyes, and then I pretend that I'm wearing a cape. Can you feel it? Close your eyes and try it. You can feel it. Now I feel the wind in the cape. Okay, that cape's kind of flopping in the wind behind you. You got power. That's a ritual, physical ritual to help people get ready for something that other people do. And I don't do that anymore. Don't need to. What I do now is I make sure my shoes are tied before I get up, and I look to make sure I didn't drop any chocolate on me on the way here. That's my ritual right now. He's saying have it in your life where you do the same things. You do it over and over and over. You burn it into your brain. You burn it into your heart. The Lord is first. The Lord's first. The Lord's first above all these things that you're going to be tempted with. He's above them. He controls them. He owns them. He created it. He's everything. He's everything. So God is preeminent in your life, and your focus on Him needs to be daily, and it needs to be constant. And with that, you will succeed in life. You'll succeed. Now I want to tell you what they're facing. I have a list of gods here. I printed myself out a list of gods, and because it's so complex, but this I went ahead and put it on paper. These are the things that they are going to face. Just a few gods, the major gods. And this is what those gods of those Canaanites, what they believed. They believed in Baal. You may have heard of Baal. Baal is a god that is over storms, fertility, and agriculture. He's got a big job. Baal's got in charge of that. And here's the worship practices for Baal. Ritual prostitution, offerings, and child sacrifice. Okay, Baal's a god of the land. They're moving to a land where these people believe that and do that. And we're talking about God with a little g, not the God. Second one is Asherah, in charge of motherhood, fertility, and the consort of Baal. So we've got these two. Same thing. Fertility, these sacred sites that they worshipped. Then we have Molech. He's the god of the underworld, fire, and child sacrifice. Pretty wicked culture, isn't it? They're headed into a wicked culture. Then you've got Dagon, is over agriculture and grain. Then you've got El, he's that chief god of Canaan. And you have Anat, who is the war fertility god. So fertility kind of connects with all of them, but they have little nuances. And he's saying to the Israelites, as you go there, you'll be tempted to be drawn in because you're going to let your guard down. You're going to let your guard down. You're going to want to participate with these people. If you participate with them, you're going to start thinking about those things. When you think about these things, your focus will be on them, and your focus will be off God. Yahweh will be out of the question for you because you're looking at other things. Now, I want to tell you, these kind of gods are in today's culture. It doesn't take much for us to apply this to what we deal with right now. Where do we see Baal? Well, there are people that believe in animistic gods. And by animistic gods, I mean gods of nature. There are people who believe that. And there are people in this country. We're not talking about some foreign country somewhere. We're talking about this country. There are people that will give a nod to a deity that's in charge of nature. That big field of flowers that you showed us on the picture, did the nature God create that? Yahweh did. Jesus did. That belongs to Him. There are people who do that. It doesn't take any explanation for you today to tell you that there are plenty of gods of sexuality. Plenty. Social media, TikTok, Reels, all these things, there are all kinds of options to take people's focus away from the Father and put on sexuality. And grain and culture would be economy. Economy. I'm with a group of guys, and we joke around and talk about what the stock market is doing once a week. Once a week we do. It would be easy, if that were our God, to get focused and our sway be pulled away by this financial God. So you see how all these things that the people of Israel were facing way back then is common to us. It's common to us. We deal with that. So we know that God is there and preeminent in our life, but we get a little lazy and we get a little mixed in with the culture all around us. That happens. Been happening for generations and generations, thousands of years. But this is what God says to us in Isaiah 42:8. Isaiah 42:8, He's speaking about this to His people, about what they face in this temptation to be pulled into worshiping foreign gods. He says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another god or praise to idols. I'm not going to be easy about this. He's the God. None of this other stuff, none of these other things that have our allegiance compares. Now, those of you that have been around for a few weeks, you've heard some Hebrews. Boy, that sure applies to Hebrews, doesn't it? Because the author of Hebrews is writing to this group of people, these Jewish Christians who are still meeting in the synagogue. And the synagogue would be made up of both non-believing Jews and Jews. And in that synagogue, there's all kinds of pressure to conform to all that's around. And I'm not just talking about conform to the monotheistic view that there's only one God, Yahweh, and there's not a Trinity. There's pressure for that. But there's also pressure for all these things of religion that they have added into their lifestyle, their purpose, all these objects of worship. The writer of Hebrews is trying to get us back. He's trying to get us back focused. When I first started hunting in Wyoming, I hunted with a deacon at a church that was a guide. Best thing ever happened to me. Somebody hooked me up with him, and he showed me some things. He took me out, and he handed me a pair of binoculars that I had never seen the brand before. And the name is Swarovski. These Swarovski binoculars, they're expensive. Anybody in here know what they cost? Thousands. In the thousands. They're expensive. And he said, here, you can have these, just don't drop them. Then he said, but if you do drop them, I have a lifetime warranty, I'll get a new pair, it's fine. So that helped a little bit. I have these binoculars, I pull them up, and man, everything is amazing. How clear it is. It's great. But they were 10 power, and 10 power wasn't enough. I think they're 12, actually. And I could see things, but I couldn't see on a level that helped me see an antelope because they saw 10 times the power that I see. So they told me when I went home to buy a pair and before I came back, and I bought a pair of 16 power Nikons. Nikons is Kmart to Swarovski's Neiman Marcus. Okay. Nikon was good. I was pleased with it. I was pleased with it. But something about those high power binoculars, when I put them up to my eyes, I could never find what I was looking at because I was doing this the whole time. You do this with a pair of binoculars and you get car sick easy, you're going to have to sit down in a few minutes. Hard to get focused. So I pulled it right back. This is what I learned. If I'd put my elbows on the hood of my truck, I wouldn't shake enough. I'd be still enough to hold on and I could find what I was looking for. I get stabilized to get focused. This writer is grabbing the ears, he's grabbing the hands, he's saying to the people, I need you to focus in. Focus in on what is right. And don't be dizzied by all these things that you're surrounded with. So we go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. This is teaching John 17:3. John 17:3 says this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what Hebrews 3 is bringing to life. Then he says, therefore, the first verse is going to pop it out and bring it into life. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Stop thinking about what people are saying to you to belittle you for believing in Jesus. Stop thinking about whether you're going to eat today or tomorrow, your house. Stop thinking about all these things, these gods that are in front of you. Stop thinking about your personal wishes and wants and desires that are not in the in the economy of God. Keep your focus on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as the apostle and high priest. He was faithful. By the way, we don't want to gloss over that. The apostle brought the good news of the kingdom of God in himself. He's the author of the word apostle. The high priest, and that he was in a high priest above other high priests. So Jesus is above angels. That's what we found in the first chapters. Jesus is above the priest. We'll see that in other chapters. And now we're about to get in some really personal territory where you can offend somebody really quick. Jesus is above Moses. Moses was the man. Moses was important. Moses was so important that if you were to belittle Moses or not give a proper mental and spiritual assent to the person of Moses, you were looked down on and people would get mad at you. It's like being from Louisiana and telling somebody that you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. People don't like that. I don't show that. That poster of Roger Staubach is hidden in my inner office. Not everybody gets to go see that. Because in this state, you got to be a saint. Oh, yeah, you do. You got to be, for most people, you got to be a saint. That's the way they thought about Moses. Moses was above. Moses was great. And he's going to teach them that no matter how great Moses was, Jesus is better. Verse 2. He was faithful, back in Hebrews 3, verse 2. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was a faithful servant as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. That puts Jesus on a new level, a level that those Jews in the New Testament would have a difficult time accepting if they didn't know Jesus. So, getting ready for church on Sunday morning, easy to get distracted. I've got to FaceTime Karen doing Lily's hair. They're in Texas right now. It's today's Irv's big day. He's going to be installed in the new church by an outside preacher. Going to come in and preach like an ordination message. The whole family is going to stand up. So that meant things had to be ironed. Things had to be put together. People had to be fed really early. And Karen's domain was Lily and Lily's hair and her dresses. And during the course of a 10-minute FaceTime, she changed dresses 3 times. I got to see the princess dress. Princess dress wasn't the right one. Then I got to see the one she's wearing. But most of all, she had her hair curled. Now, this is a 3-year-old with her hair curled. She's getting ready. She's getting ready for what is coming up. The whole purpose of this day is to honor God and God's calling of this family to minister at this church. But do you see how easy it is to get distracted? Because a lot happens in 30 minutes before church service. A lot happens. A lot happens in the life of a family, in a car, in conversations, in getting ready. I don't think I have been to church the last month without getting some stain on my pants. I've been eating in the car on the way here. And I know better. I literally have an apron in the back seat of my car that somebody taught me that travels a lot. They said, you take a towel and you cut a hole in it and you stitch it up with a serger or something like that and make a nice neck on it. You slip that towel over your neck. It covers your whole body. And you drive and you eat and you don't get messy. It happens to me so often, I use the blanket. So here I am driving down the road with a slanket on, with it covering my neck and sticking out. I'm covered, and I'm eating a breakfast bar with chocolate coating and some stuff on the inside. It's supposed to be in high protein, and I come here, and I walk in the front door, and I got chocolate right there. And it was covered. It was covered with a blanket. I don't know how it got under the covers. It got under. Distraction. Distraction. Trying to pull. It's the enemy. The devil wants to pull you away from the focus. The focus is Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's what you do. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. A I've got a song that talks about who Jesus is, and I'm not going to sing it to you. By the way, this backup plan that I have, for some reason my iPad froze, so I got it in writing over here, and I also have it on my phone. Because if I don't, the devil's going to try to knock me out. Here's the lyrics to What a Beautiful Name It Is. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High, your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. That's great. That gets your focus off of the world, off of the stains, off of the distraction, off of the whatever's happening at home, off of the bills. It gets your name on Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King, what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. That might need to be your pregame. Your pregame is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. There's nothing bigger. There's no power greater. There's no name greater in the person of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin in the grave. Your heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Well, that gets your mind on Jesus, doesn't it? Gets it off of the world. Get your mind on Jesus. You have no rival, no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. What a powerful name it is, the powerful name of Jesus. We have these words. That's a word you may have to look up on the internet to find those lyrics. But you can pop out one of those hymnals in front of you, open it up, turn your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. My phone has learned that I leave it on, and it turns it off for me. Before you get in to a time of worship, before you start a day, before you have a conversation, before you go to work, before whatever it is you're doing to get yourself ready, just pretend that you're 50 years old reading a restaurant, a menu in a dark restaurant somewhere, and need your glasses. Take your light out, hone in, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look in His face. Everything outside of this circle of light is just dim to me, but I can see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the teaching that we've had in Scripture today from the Old Testament and the New, and from the testimony of hymns. Father, You care about us and love us, and we get distracted so easy. We get focused on things that just do not matter. We don't just stumble into trouble. We run for it sometimes. Lord, there's going to be somebody here today that walked into this room distracted. Distracted, and their eyes are on the world. Their eyes are on the things. Their eyes are on this afternoon. Their eyes are on next week. Their eyes are on their children. Their eyes are on their spouse. Their eyes are on their troubles. Their eyes are on things that don't matter, because You are the Lord over it all. And Father, I pray that right now they would turn their eyes fully in focus, illuminated on the name, the person, the Lord Jesus. But there's someone that's away from You that needs to give their life to You, that they'll do that right now. Oh Lord, I believe. I believe You're my only hope. I believe You're the Savior of the world. Lord Jesus, I give my life to You. Help me stay focused on You. If there's someone that has strayed so long they don't know how to get back, that Father, You bring them right back into clarity. and their focus on you. Father, you help them grow. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand with me for the time of invitation, Mark's going to come lead us in a couple of verses. And that's not the end of the day, that's the beginning of the day, because you've had your pregame. You've had it. Now let's go live it.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.